Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for healing, time to move on. It's time to fix what's been broken too long. Time to make right what has been wrong. It's time to find my way to where I belong. There's a wave that's crashing over me, and all I can do is surrender. Whatever you're doing inside of me, it feels like chaos, but somehow there's peace, and it's hard to surrender to what I can't see.
Tried to bring you a message from Carmen. We had difficulty, so we couldn't bring you all of the show, but we believe the show worked out exactly as God wanted it to. The callers that shared remarks after the first segment of the show took things in a little bit of a different direction than Carmen. That is one of the great things about faith. When you do something for God and allow Him to be in control, we don't have to stress when things don't go exactly as planned. That's the difference between religion and serving a living God. We hope that you enjoy the show, and as a reminder, we are opening up the schedule for guest speakers and a topic suggestions. And now we'll hear from Carmen.
Well, hi, everybody. Well, you're quite an excitable group. Seeing that you're all like Christians and stuff, aren't you supposed to be like sort of calm and reserved and stuff? Y'all are acting like you know Jesus personally or something. Well, you know, this crowd here tonight makes me feel a couple things. It makes me feel like I miss my brother, and it reminds me also of why the devil hates us so much. See, I come from an Italian family. And in every Italian family, there's a Mario. My brother was Mario. Five cousins, Mario. Uncle, Mario. Grandfather, Mario. Aunt. Mario. Aunt Marion. And my brother was like, he was really skilled at beating people up. That was his talent. It was like he had an anointing. When I grew up, my brother, he could beat up everybody in the neighborhood, and did quite often. But see, there was a problem. See, my brother got married young. He was like 8 years older than me. And when he got married and moved away, he left me in the same neighborhood with all the people he'd been beating up all those years. So they would look at me and they'd say, "Look, it looks like him. Got that same crazy last name. Live in that same house. It's close enough. Let's beat him up." So they'd want to beat me up, not because of anything that I did, but because when they saw me, I reminded them of somebody that beat them up years ago. And then I thought, this is why the devil hates us so much. Because every time he sees us get crazy and make noise and holler and shout and worship and clap our hands and praise, we remind him of somebody that beat him up and crushed his head 2,000 years ago, and it drives him nuts. So you're making me feel sentimental here tonight. I would like to talk a little bit tonight about something that I call the 6 foot over and under syndrome. I know this sounds crazy. The 6 foot over and under syndrome. And here's what it is. It's like, you all heard about somebody being 6 foot under. Okay? But what happens when you feel like the best of your life is 6 foot under and the rest of your life is 6 foot over? Sometimes it happens where the best that we have to offer seems like it's somewhere else and it's not accessible to us, and all that's left is just us to just kind of eat up the days until either Jesus comes back or God calls us home, one of the two. Now, I want to quote a scripture to you here tonight, and hopefully you're going to remember this because this will make a really big difference. And I wanted to get a really good scripture, a deep one, something I believe that would resonate and would hit everybody in a really strong way. So this is the scripture for tonight, okay? It's out of John, chapter 11, and it says this, verse 35. Jesus wept. Thank you for coming here tonight. God bless you. That's it. But you know, if you ever see somebody crying, what's the first thing you always say if you see somebody crying? What's the matter? What's wrong? Because something about when somebody's crying, you always want to know what happened. Why are you crying? You're always curious. And I was always curious, why did Jesus weep? I mean, there's lots of stuff for him to weep over, mind you. But why at this particular time here? Well, if you put it in context, he was on his way to go see his buddy Lazarus. Obviously, Lazarus must have been a popular guy in his town because Jesus, the man, he was going to go see him. However, he had found out that something had happened to Lazarus, and the word was out that Lazarus had died. Well, the disciples looked at Jesus, and he didn't look too shook up about this. So they figured, well, maybe he's just sleeping. So they thought, well, Lord, maybe he's just asleep. She said, no, he's dead. Okay, well, you're taking this well. But sometimes things don't shake up Jesus like they shake us up. Sometimes there's things that will really rattle our world and make us do crazy stuff that it doesn't really seem to faze him at all. And what I would like to do is I'd like to kind of take you back into that moment, because I think there's something here that we all can relate to, because it has to do with funerals. You all remember the movie that was out back a while back? It was called The Wedding Crashers. People love to crash weddings. Why? Because it's a party. There's party, there's dancing, people are drinking, people are doing all the stuff that people want to do at a party, and it's easy and fun to go crash a wedding, but nobody ever wants to crash a funeral. Why? Because the only reason you want to crash a wedding is to celebrate, and the only reason you want to crash a funeral is to mourn with somebody who's mourning, and nobody wants to go mourn with somebody. Now, just because you're invited to a funeral doesn't mean you're crashing a funeral. It's a big difference. So when Jesus decides he's going to crash this funeral, he paints a picture of all of our lives at probably the most desperate moment. And it's probably not from the angle that we've thought about for so long, because I've looked at this a while, and I see something here that I can relate to. You see, Christians, we do not like to have anybody think stuff bothers us. And we like to put on a false front. And when somebody says, hey, what's going on? Or somebody says, what's happening in your church? The pastors are notorious for this. So tell me about your church. What's going on? Oh, God is moving in an incredible way. And we've got 3,000 people. And there's only like 100, 200 people there. But he's talking his faith. And, you know, we always talk about stuff that is just not there. And if your life is really going bad, and somebody comes up to you and they says, how are things going? You go, it's good. And it's not good at all. It's terrible. But our instinct and our habit is to always say the opposite. Why is that? It's just like there's something false about the things that we say, and we just got to shake it off. I think it has something to do with our nature, our sinful nature. You know, you don't have to teach a little kid how to do wrong. Kid will do wrong on his own. People say, well, people are just inherently good. I believe it. No, they're not. You want to know what people are really like all by themselves without training and stuff? You take a kid and leave him alone for the first 12 years of his life. You don't teach him manners. You don't teach him respect. You don't teach him how to eat with a fork or a napkin. And by the time he's 12, you will have Wolfman on your hands. Because if we just follow what comes natural, our nature is the reverse of what a lot of people say that it is. So, we have this part of us that doesn't want to tell the truth. And especially when it comes time for grieving. Because we put on this false front. Now, this is just the way I see it. I know some people are not going to agree with it. But I'm telling you, there is a time to grieve. And it's a natural thing for grieving. It's something that's just part of all of us, and it's a process we have to go through. And because lots of times in churches and in Christian circles, we don't want to tell everybody what we're really thinking because we don't want people to see our weaknesses. So we're always habitually saying, well, things are going great when they're not going great. Everything's okay when they're really not okay. How you feeling? I'm okay, and you're really not okay. So let's take it to the extreme. You lose somebody who you really love and your heart's broken. You say, how you doing? I'm all right. And you're not all right. So what we do is we do this thing, especially if ever you've been to a funeral, and I've been to several, believe me, Italian families, East Coast, sometimes people go for natural causes and unnatural as well. My end of the wood. So you could actually come and you'd be sitting there, and I've many times been sitting in that front row, and somebody walks down, and you're grieving, and the first thing they want to say to you is, look, You just need to be rejoicing right now. Rejoice that this person, they're up in heaven and they're frolicking and they're dancing and they're jamming with the band and they're up there and they're roller skating and they're dancing through fields of clover and they're frolicking down the street with Enoch and Jesus and they're jamming with Elvis and James Brown and you're like, shut up. Sometimes if people do not want to grieve with you, they're trying to get you out of the natural process that you're supposed to be going through. So they're saying, don't grieve. Don't go through the natural process, because if you grieve, that means I got to grieve with you, and I don't want to grieve with you because I don't care for you that much. I don't want to put that much of myself out to go through what you're going through. So they try to take you out of it because we're so used to putting on false fronts. And you know, sometimes the people in the world, they say we're crazy. And you know why? Because sometimes some of us are. We just don't tell the truth. And it'd be so nice if somebody said, what's going on? If they really want to know, just tell them. See what happens. And then you'll find out if they really want to know. Because they might say, oh, well, you know, you know what? I've done that a couple times, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes they say, well, look, you know, I know you're going through something. You probably want to be left alone. How many have ever heard that? I know you want, I didn't call you because I know you was upset. You probably need your own time. That means it's like, hey, look, I ain't going to talk to you if you're all messed up because I want to have a few laughs, and you ain't doing a few laughs here tonight, so I'll call you back when you're feeling better because I don't want to go through your nonsense with you. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Am I telling the truth? Right? But sometimes that's exactly what we go through, especially when it comes time to the grieving process. Look, the only reason that you go to a funeral or you grieve with somebody is you got to love that person. And folks, let me tell you something about grieving. You don't always have to have the right answer. You don't. You don't always have to have the perfect quote that's going to turn them around, because they may not supposed to be turned around at that time. They may have to be in the process of grieving that has to find its way through their lives. And your call may just be to just sit with them. And to hold their hand and to listen to them talk through their stuff and to talk what happened and maybe go over it and then cry and maybe think and they stare and then they want to go over it again. And you got to listen to it again. That's part of the process. And if you love somebody, you'll go through that with them. You don't have to have the perfect thing to say. You don't have to say, well, God, give me a word to tell them. You know what? The word is go and be with them. He's already given us the word, mourn with those that mourn. Grieve with the word's already there. Why alter it? Why change it? God's already put it there for us. Now we have to obey it and do as God wants us to do. So Jesus is on his way to see Lazarus still. I would think if it was my responsibility and I had the wherewithal to make this man's life better and that I could prevent him from dying and I didn't show up, that was the last place I'd want to be showing my face, because somebody will go off on me. And folks, there's always somebody in the family that's going to do what they feel they're supposed to do no matter who it hurts, who it upsets, or how much it wrecks your world. Because they got something they're going to say, and they're going to say it. And you know, whenever you hear that person's name mentioned, just a chill goes up your spine. You've heard that person's name mentioned in your family. They say, guess who was here? You go, oh, what? What do they want? Because you know there's drama associated with it. As soon as you hear their name, you know it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to bail them out of something. You're going to have to fix something. You're going to have to go in behind them and clean things up. You're going to have to go in behind them and make some apologies for them. So there's always somebody in the family that you're going to have to do repair work after they're done saying what they feel. Well, hi, everybody. Well, you're quite an excitable group. Seeing that you're all like Christians and stuff, aren't you supposed to be like sort of calm and reserved and stuff? I mean, y'all are acting like you know Jesus personally or something. Well, you know, this crowd here tonight makes me feel a couple things. It makes me feel like I miss my brother. And it reminds me also of why the devil hates us so much. See, I come from an Italian family.
Well, it appears as though we still have technical difficulties, so we'll go to the next segment.
It was also the tomb that he got up and walked out of. We still go back and visit it to this day. We're going to the Holy Land to see the tomb he got out of. We forget way back when that was the tomb they put him in. It was a symbol of grief. It was a symbol of failure. It was a symbol of broken dreams and promises that would never happen again. It was hopeless. It was dead. It was gone. That tomb that was a symbol of everything that was a failure is now forever a symbol of everything that has life and everything that is good. And we will fly halfway across the world just to look at it, to remind us. So I say to you here tonight, for those of you that have lost your dream, for those of you that have lost your passion, those of you that have legitimate reasons why you don't believe like you believed before, there's other folks that can believe for you. Sometimes that's what it takes. Hey, we use other people's strength when we're hurting, when we go to the hospital. We don't go there to heal ourselves. We go there to help somebody else heal us. If we get in an accident on the freeway or something, we're hoping someone else will come and fix us. Well, so if you're hurting in your life and something got buried and you've lost a passion or a dream of some sort, the Lord wants to come and help you. He's going to do something you can't do. We put that pressure on ourselves that we have to turn it around and we have to fix it. We didn't go to the cross. He went to the cross. He went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for you. He did something for you and I we couldn't do for ourselves. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to go back to that tomb of where you buried the thing that meant the most to you. Listen, I travel all over the world, and I've been in ministry for 30 years. And you know, the big thing for most of the time was to get people saved. And of course it's important to get people saved, because the Bible says that the witness will be all over the world and everyone will hear the gospel and then the end time shall come. Well, think about this just for a second. I'm not just putting this on the shoulders of TBN, but folks, you can pretty much go anywhere in the world. If you can tap into the internet, you can hear the gospel. Anywhere you want to go, pretty much anywhere, you can hear the gospel somehow, somewhere. If there's not a television set, if there's the internet, that changed everything. That meant as long as there's somewhere, somebody preaching online, you can hear the gospel. What does that mean? That means this, is that the gospel, for all intents and purposes, can be heard anywhere. It doesn't necessarily say everybody's going to receive it. It just says it has to be heard as a witness. So now what does the church need to focus on? We need to focus on the ones that are wounded, the ones that have lost their way, the broken soldiers, the warriors that we have forgotten because they weren't perfect and they were sliced up in the process of doing something for the kingdom. These are the ones that need to be healed. You're going to see, as time goes on, a re-emphasis on healing those broken and wounded soldiers that are in the body of Christ, that can operate at 100%, but we just didn't give them the chance. I can tell you so many times I've seen so many ministries run from somebody that's wounded, especially if somebody's caught in a scandal or something, when everybody should surround them and help to lift them up. Most times preachers run. They hide under the bed. You can't get them on the phone until the coast is clear and they know that you can't hurt their reputation. Give me a break. What are you here for? We need each other. Tonight is your night. Those of you that are watching at home, tonight is your night. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what country you're in. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what the dream is that you've lost, but I do know this. God knows. And it's no mistake that you're listening to my voice right now. Of all the things that you could be listening to, of all the things that you could be watching, of all the 1,000 channels, you're watching this. That means that somebody has come after you. They've come to the tomb where you're at. They've come to the tomb to call out your name. They've come to the tomb where you have been buried, where the most important, the most valuable aspects and skills of your life have been buried, and they need to be resurrected. This is your time. This is the year where ministries are going to come back to life. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the souls. How many know that the life of the flesh is in the blood? See, that's why they say if there's a disease of the blood, there's a disease of the life. Most of the diseases that are in the blood come from a diseased life or immorality that slips into there. But this is what God wants you to know. It's the blood of Jesus that's going to make the difference here tonight. Because in that blood there is life. And it's not something you can manufacture on your own. You can't shout it into existence. It doesn't work that way. You just have to say, okay, I'm ready. And let Him do the supernatural work. Tonight, we're going to sing that song. It says, oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Wash away all the hurt, the pain, the failure, all the things that were deceiving you, the lies, the things that misdirected you. We're going to get you back on your path. If you need to be put back on path, as we sing this song, if that's you, I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet as we sing, if it's speaking to you, as we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Somebody's being called tonight. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes. It washes away. Somebody's going to get restored tonight. Somebody's coming back to life. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood.
Well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Well, do we have anyone that wants to make a comment or Blog Talk Mom?
Sister Starla, it is good to hear your voice tonight.
Was that my imagination? Was that second segment identical to the first?
Right. Well, it wasn't when you stopped and started again.
But yeah.
Yes.
That other one was.
It was repeating the first part. And we are happy birthday to Wild Bill. Throughout the world, we're so happy. Oh, that is so good that we have another year. I enjoyed the program a lot, though. I'm getting an echo. Am I echoing with y'all?
Oh, maybe it's because I'm on.
Oh, hello, Sissy.
Hey, how are you? I want to say happy birthday to Wild Bill.
Happy birthday to him.
To him. Happy birthday, Wild Bill. Happy birthday to him. He can't call in tonight, Starla?
He's here. He might be doing something that he can't call in. I mean, he's listening, but he might be doing something.
Well, this is our opportunity to gossip about him then.
All right. Well, he is our number one Blog Talk hero of the whole world, huh?
Woohoo!
He also has a mother that I couldn't decide which card, so I bought three and then I forgot to mail any of them. How about that?
Get mad at you, though. That's the good thing about me and you and him, that we all three do that, so we don't get mad at the other ones for doing it. We understand that whole thought process.
I really enjoyed Carmen ending with that song and could feel the presence of the Lord. Did y'all feel like the Lord sort of stepped in on that?
Yes, that was good.
Yes, that was good.
Very, very
good.
I have a poem y'all might want to hear. Do y'all like poetry?
We can't commit until we've heard it. I want to hear it.
I love poetry.
Sometimes I do, and sometimes I get lost. I really like short, poems, but this is not real life.
The book.
Yeah, if y'all are ready. It's written by Helen Steiner Rice, and I have this little book. It's just little short excerpts, and the title is When Troubles Assail You, God Will Not Fail You. And it sort of went along with what Carmen was saying, because there's not really any set way that you can comfort someone. It's just too complicated because we're such complicated beings. You know, you hear stories where people just stood there and just felt their pain,
and
others talk. So here we go. Ready? Amen. Are y'all ready?
Amen.
I
turned off the mic because we're getting an echo.
Yeah, we are. Okay. How's that? Okay. When life seems empty and there's no place to go, when your heart is troubled and your spirits are low, when friends seem few and nobody cares, there's always God to hear your prayers. And whatever you're facing will seem much less when you go to God and confide and confess. For the burden that seems too heavy to bear, God lifts away on the wings of prayer. And seen through God's eyes, earthly troubles diminish. This is my favorite line of the whole thing. As seen through God's eyes, earthly troubles diminish. And we're given new strength to face and to finish life's daily tasks as they come along if we pray for strength to keep us strong. So go to our Father when troubles assail you, for His grace is sufficient and He will never fail you. Helen Steiner Rice.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I thought so too. She has just such a way of staying on point, and it's very encouraging to me. This morning I was having a devotion,
and it was
the Lord led me to the book of I think it's Philippians, and that's a great little book in the New Testament to encourage everybody if they're looking for a place to have a devotion. Now I'm going to be quiet and let somebody else say something. Rhonda Joy.
Hang on just a second. Okay. Joy?
Well, we'll see if I start an echo.
No echo.
Sound echo? Okay.
It's okay.
Well, I wish Wild Bill would call in because I want to talk to him on his birthday. How's that for self-centered? Are any of y'all doing nano?
I wanted to so bad, and then everything just went a total different direction. But I really
it's only the 6th. You can still get on if you try. You'll still get a heck of a lot closer than you would have gotten if you didn't try. Is Wild Bill doing it?
I don't know what nano is.
Well, you just don't hang on my every word, do you, Carla?
I'm so sorry.
Give us a little rundown on it.
Oh, you have to do it, Mama. Sorry.
NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writers Month.
Oh, I don't know if he hasn't said anything to me about doing it, so I don't know.
You'd know it, because he would be writing all the time.
Well, his hours
is too hard.
It's me that's echoing. I'm going to be quiet. Y'all talk.
Go ahead and say whatever you're going to say, Goose.
Show a little bit more reverence for your mother. That's all I've got.
I'm going to turn one of you guys' mics off because it's echoing.
Is it
so
me?
Who wants to talk?
Let Mama talk. But okay. I love you, Wild Bill. Happy birthday.
Okay.
You can flip it back and forth. You can say,
yeah,
doorbell. But it's more me because I hear me.
No, it's you when her mic is on.
Oh, it's feedback.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we have a couple of listeners. Sister Kaiser said she might be able to listen tonight, and we have Sister Denise may get to get a courage and call in. She's my friend, and
Sister Kaiser hasn't called in.
She had a lot of things that was going on, so she may not have been able to. This scripture in Philippians, may I read that?
Sure.
It says in the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, and here's the Apostle Paul saying he's learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And he didn't mean Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana. He meant whatever we're going through, that contentment was the secret, that the advice that he's given us is to be content. Be content, because we tend to never, there's nothing more irritating or annoying than to take a child to a store and they want everything. And no matter what you give them, they want more. And I've used this illustration since this is Wild Bill's day. Early on, when he was about 4 or 5 years old, we took him to the fair in Arkansas, and you literally had to peel him off. It took Jim and me both him off of a ride when he screamed. It was unbelievable. And then the minute he saw the next ride, tears dried up, grinned all over himself, got on the little horse or whatever it was, and when it was over, screamed at the top of his lungs, screeched. And, I mean, we had to peel him off of that one. And the Lord has reminded me so many times that from place to place, you know, God is moving us. And we're going to, it is a process, as we have maintained that every time we have a program. Life is a process. We are moving forward. And if we'll just be content, that's the hardest thing in the world. I'm acting so smug. Oh, it says, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I just think that's how much is put into that 4 verses that the apostle, and you know, we must remember that much of what he wrote from a Roman jail, a prison. So it wasn't like he was on everything just flowing just like he thought it, or, you know, we would want to visualize it. So that has comforted me today. There's been an unusual day, and I have found great comfort in that.
I love that scripture.
Goes on to say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
There's just so many things in this one that there's just actually 4 chapters in the whole book of Philippians, but it is, there's so much.
We have, well, Bill?
Hey, I stepped outside in the rain here just a little bit. I was in a room full of screaming men all waiting to get their loads to leave. So thank you guys for the birthday wish. And I guess it's not meant for section 2 of Carmen to play. And there was one section of that I really didn't care for. But the point that he was trying to make is that Satan, you know, he does his job. But then we are so busy sometimes to let things like addiction, divorces, choices we made in life keep us from fulfilling the ministry that God has in each and every one of us. And we can all play a part in encouraging and helping those people instead of looking for ways to either stay away from them and tell them just to get over it and just realize, yeah, you're not qualified anymore. You know, we don't want to hear what you have to say. When in truth, their experience can add such a power to their ministry where it can have a compassion for those who are also hurting, who have also been in there, who don't know who God is. And so when we allow the ministry of God to work and set people free by sharing what we have and being that light to the lost and dying world, it's just so much more power in doing that. And I was thinking today, we talk about process a lot on our show, but, you know, process is one of those things that that's another one of those traps where we can get locked into analyzing the process instead of looking ahead to where we're going. You know, it's, you know, I go to the Outback Steakhouse and I eat that steak dinner and I eat that baked potato and I love the way they season it and everything. I don't need to know the history of who the father and mother was of that cow that I'm eating. I don't need to know how old it was when it was slaughtered, how it was slaughtered, where it was raised, what it ate. All I need to be concerned with is that dinner that's right there in front of me and enjoy it. And, you know, I think that's where we're at a time right now that where we just need to enjoy the things of God, not try to analyze things so much, not try to figure out the process of what's going on in other people's lives and what's going on in our lives, but let's let God be God, and let's just say yes to him and put ourselves in position to where we can be that salt and light to a lost and dying world. I've been pushing people's buttons today on Facebook with some of the things about the election, and it's one of those things that people have a lot of passion about this process. And I'm just thankful that we live in a country to where we do have a voice. But then we need to also understand that once this is over, we need to all get behind whoever wins in our prayer and maybe in fasting and let God take control of situations to where it seems like there is no control. Because whether we like it or not, this is all heading to God's will and his work for this time and his people. And, of course, Joy Bells, I'm sure, is going to go in there and say, go Obama, because we know how she feels about that. But in truth, whoever wins, that's going to be your president. Whoever wins in your state, that's going to be your congressman and your senator that you have a voice that represents you. And whether you agree with them or not, we have a power and a calling within us to do more than anybody else can possibly do. So I've got to go back inside, but again, I want to thank everyone.
I think Joy wanted to say something to you. Joy?
Okay, well, I can, but you need to go ahead and meet me.
Happy birthday. I love you.
Oh, I love you.
Whoops. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go over our weapon.
Guys?
Yes?
Okay. Well, I guess he already went in. Anyway, well, that was good, what he had to say.
It was excellent. Actually, it goes along with the first part of what the Apostle Paul was saying in that fourth chapter of, I don't want to, you know, just belabor the high point of it, but he said that let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In other words, he was bringing it, like while Bill said, just right to the point of what you have. I heard a story about a little boy that his mother gave him a nickel, and he was so proud of that nickel. He just, oh, man, that was the grandest thing, and he went out to play, and he showed it to his playmate. He said, look at my nickel. And the little boy that was from next door said, well, look at my quarter. And he thought, wow, look at his quarter. And his nickel didn't seem all that great, so he went back and told his mother. And I'm echoing. Give me a hush.
Hang on a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
And his mother went ahead, gave him a quarter, and he went out. He was thrilled to death and ran into another little kid that had 50 cents. And it went on back and forth. He went back. You know, at one point, what he had was so exciting. It was so wonderful. It was just, but then when he compared it to something else or someone else, it lost all of its joy to him. And that's what Wild Bill was saying. Instead of getting all of this stuff overwhelming us, enjoy what we have. You know, if you're sitting there in front of a wonderful meal, enjoy that meal. Don't pick it apart, analyze it, have guilt, you know, wish, oh, I don't deserve this. Well, yeah, I do. Or, I mean, I deserve more. You know, getting into that, just be content. You know, be content and enjoy that we have. The rest of the scripture said, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, the God of peace will keep you. That is wonderful. I love that portion of scripture. So I believe that's what Wild Bill was, his point was, to be content and enjoy that you have. That was excellent.
Well, I wish Wild Bill got to talk to us some more, especially being at his birthday. But we enjoyed what you had to share with us. And do you have anything else?
Well, I thought Sister Kaiser didn't call.
No.
Well, something came up then at the last minute because I had talked to her a little bit before the program, and she had wanted to. But this was an excellent, because everyone, this is such a real subject. It's everyone faces that in our life, everywhere we go, every day. Especially the older I am, it seems like I am more involved in people that are losing their loved ones, facing severe, chronic, acute, maybe, I guess, illnesses.
Yes.
Seems like there is. I like to feel like that I've done something, if it's maybe not the most you know, earth-shattering thing, but sometimes just taking a dish to somebody, a banana pudding or flowers or a card, you know, to something, and then they can assimilate it as they've sometimes just going back and looking at the cards, maybe even a month or two later, there's comfort in that.
Yes. That is a good thing when you have a friend that is experiencing loss.
Are we going to be contented? Are we going to we're going to come back next Tuesday by the grace of God, and we're going to all tell something how contented we've been this week. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome. That is a good idea.
You might want to hear something from the Jewish website that I love to stay in touch with, but the ladies did a thing where they put a little band on one arm. I don't know what it was made of, a little elastic band. Anyway, each time they complained, they would take it and put it on the other arm. Or if they grumbled or they were dissatisfied, whatever, they would move it over. And it was very interesting when they finally came, when it was over for maybe 2 weeks, and they shared how many times they'd had to change it back and forth and how aware they became of how disgruntled they were over so many things. And one lady had never had to change hers at ever, even one time. And so they gave her a big applause, and they asked her to come up and share. Said, "Well, why? How could you do that?" And she said, "Well, what is there to complain about?" You know, she really didn't. In her heart, there was nothing to complain about. And I thought, wow, I'd probably have a big blister on my arm from changing it over.
I am a whiner. I hate that. I wish, I don't know.
Okay, we'll get it. I've got this little band that you're supposed to hold your cup in. I'm going to start. Well, next week, we're going to have a big testimonial service. We've not complained. We've learned to be content, right?
Yes, yes.
Right.
That would be awesome.
It will work. I'm going to learn how to cook, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought you knew how to cook. I've had your cooking.
I'm going to a cardiologist class to learn how to cook very, very healthy. So I'll share with y'all.
Joy has...
let me do when I come
to
back.
Say? Joy?
Well, this doesn't really go with cooking healthy, but I will say that people get a little bit more than a little bit of comfort if you bring them a banana pudding.
Well, that doesn't go along with chicken.
Comfort.
That's cute.
What else did you just say that I wanted to say something to you about?
Being content.
Don't remember.
The Jewish website.
No, I do love that scripture, as you know.
I have a tremendous problem of being able to memorize anything. And what the Lord showed me, I guess, way back when he first started letting me learn to play the piano a little bit, that if I would put anything to music, that somehow it makes the right brain, left brain, you can remember it, retain it. And so that was
mm-hmm.
the first ones that be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And
here's Wild Bill. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just thinking, I get tickled every time you talk about the Jewish website. I keep catching myself wanting to say, you do realize that it was the Jews that killed Jesus, don't you? You know,
no,
we
it wasn't.
Sometimes look at them as being the experts to look
Jesus
at them.
Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. The disciples were the Jews. Just because there were some Jews, that does not mean that the Jews killed Jesus. Go ahead.
They did. They were the ones that carried him up before those people and said, "Give us Barabbas."
No, it was the crowd that said, "Give them Barabbas," and it was the Sanhedrin that turned against Jesus because he was the Messiah. But the people, there was 120 of them actually, that went to Jerusalem to receive the Spirit of God. We can't really blame it on the Jewish people, but people like to do that. Go right ahead.
I knew you'd have a comeback.
It's your birthday, so we're going to let you slide on it to this time.
It's your birthday.
Just tell me where they parked my truck so I could find it so I could quit walking in the rain.
Well.
Aw.
Yeah.
He got our sympathy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Are you about to go home?
I get to stop in Nashville first. I'm hoping they give me something different than just to go home, but I don't know. I like to stay out all week, and that way I don't have to have as much gas expense.
Well, that's being practical, I guess. But it's your birthday, so I want you to go home.
I want my truck, what I want. It is funny how we can judge things, you know, based on a perception. I've noticed that a lot with the political issues. And
go Obama.
I'm reminded constantly of something I heard when I was a teenager, where a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And it really seems to fit when we look at the politics of this country. Next week, I think we're going to do something regarding our veterans. So you guys try to have something ready. And if anyone has a chance, it would be a good time to actually go to the VA hospital and visit some of these people. As you talk about people that are hurting, now those are people that we all should be thankful for.
Well, don't everybody speak at once.
What he was saying, especially all wars, but the Vietnamese war was our soldiers, our people. We just did not give them any kind of recognition, affirmation for the tremendous sacrifice that was given. And that's a wonderful idea, and I will do that. By the grace of God, I will go visit. You know that, by the way, that I was privileged in the service that we had at Briar Hill Nursing Home to meet a man that was one of the most decorated in World War II. He was 80-something years old, and he, as we were closing the service, he began to weep, and I was concerned that, you know, there was, I didn't know why. And so our people gathered around him. He gave his heart to God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and had one, he passed away about a year later, and it was probably one of the most awesome funerals, with just so many people were able to give praise and honor to God and to his sacrifice that he had made for his country. In fact, he had been wounded, and he got back up on a tank because all of his men were open to fire, and he was really badly wounded, but he got back up and he gave cover to his men so that they weren't slaughtered. And he was in a nursing home. It was a really rewarding thing to do.
Man, that is awesome.
Charlie used to work for someone that was a war hero in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote a book. He was an awesome person. I really enjoyed working for them. I got to listen to some of his stories.
They are wonderful. This particular gentleman, if Sister Kaiser were listening, we would go and visit, and he could just be sound asleep, and we'd stand there and just begin to sing "I'll Fly Away" was his favorite song. And he'd just, about halfway through a sentence, he'd join us, always a perfect pitch. I mean, he'd come right in on that. It was just such a wonderful experience.
I found my truck.
All right.
Dang.
They were still driving it around. No wonder I couldn't find it. You know, when you talk about the vets from back during that era, you know, it was a different time in our country, and it was a different mindset. You know, we've talked before how, you know, we had presidents that had handicaps, but the press had respect to not, you know, bring those things, you know, to the forefront, to take away from the positive things that that person was trying to do. Now we live in a time that anybody that has a position of being any kind of hero, any shape, form, or fashion, it's like we have to find something negative about it. And I don't know why that is. I thought for a while it's because I'm getting older and just more aware. But things have definitely changed, you know, in our country, and not all for good. But as we said before, which in Washington, whether you like it or not, is a matter of the people. than where we are. And I would like to say to Jack Causey, who I know listened to some of the stuff in the archives, that I do appreciate the comments he had today on Facebook regarding the election process, because there are some real issues. We live in a time to where abortion on demand is just considered a way of life. And that's, you know, it's sad that we live in a time to where that is. And it's true that we have one party who makes it clear that they're going to, because the box has been opened, that freedom of choice is going to be left open. And then the other party has lip service where they say they're going to do something about it, and they've had the opportunity where they were in power, and they haven't done it. So, I mean, some things I think it's like Pandora's box. Once it's opened, we're going to have to contend with it till the end of time, but I do believe that that's going to push us to the end of time. But once again, I saw a minister come into a church one time to plan on causing disruption, and the people of that church got together and prayed before that service because God made them aware of what was going on. And that man could not put three words together to make, he couldn't form a sentence if his life depended on it. And there was just no way. And I really believe with all my heart that if the people who claim to be Christians would start taking responsibility for our country and pray for our leaders as we never have before, God can change their actions. He can change the way they vote on issues. He can close their mouth. He can make things be different if the people of God will truly take the power that we have and apply it. But there again, that's one of those things like the frog's head wings and rear end or something hot. So. Everybody's awful quiet. I do hear somebody breathing.
I thought it was you.
No. I'm out of breath. Well, anyway, that's all that I have. But next week, I'm not really sure where it's going to go, and I apologize we didn't get that second section of Carmen again. But I do believe that there was a reason for that, and so I'm not going to let it worry me. And just, if you see someone in your church or there's someone in your family that you know is hurting, you know, instead of trying to be judgmental or looking for that special word that you think might can change their situation, you know, once again, if we would just take time to put those people on our altar in prayer, that's where our strength really lies. Because when we can't fix a situation, God can. When we cannot see the heart of someone, God can. When we can't see what's really going on behind the mask, God knows. It's not a mystery to him, these things. And I was telling Scarlett, we're going to take one of our protein jugs that's empty, and we're going to start writing down the things that we're praying for so that we don't forget, and where we can have those things listed in this jug and start praying for those. And then we're going to also acknowledge where we see the hand of God moving in. This last week I saw already the start of a miracle in our youngest son and his wife, where I can see where God is going to start a work there as never before. And so I'm so encouraged over that, because I can't say the right thing. I can't do the right, you know, for sure when you get to looking at parenting, I've not been the one that you would want to look at as a model for what people should do as a parent. And so, you know, you do the best you can. And Satan wants to try to say, well, you know, because you've made mistakes and because you failed, you know, you're not worthy to come and place those things before God. But if we cannot take enough concern, and that's what Carmen was talking about also, that we don't want to care about those things. We don't want to grieve with people. We don't want to get up under the load for people. But it's time for us to do that as we never have before. And I love each of you guys that take time to listen to our show. I looked on here, we've had over 40,000 listens to this show since we started. And I know a lot of times it seems like family time where we're sitting here just rattling and talking about things that have nothing to do with anything, but it's clear that there's people that's finding encouragement in that. And so, you know, I feel blessed that you take your time to listen to our show. And once again, we want to remind everyone, please share with us topics you'd like for us to discuss, prayer requests that you may have, testimonies, if you have a scripture you want to share, whatever it is, we're open to try to do those things to make it a part of our show, because this is your place. This is not just our place. And so I feel so blessed that Joy Bell had this concept that came to her mind, and she found out about this format to where we could reach out to people and just open up. And you know, if it wasn't for her, this show wouldn't exist. And so thank you once again, Joy Bell, for your part in making.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening this week, and God bless you, and we'll see you back here next week.
What do you guys think of my flip?